text for the meditation today is a portion of the epistle lesson, reading again 1 Corinthians 8:10-12. If anyone sees you, a man of knowledge, at table in an idle temper, might he not be encouraged if his conscience is weak to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge, this weak man is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brethren and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. That's all the text. The problem didn't originate with St. Paul in this most troublesome prayer at Corinth. The situation he was dealing with already had its root back in the earliest chapters of the book of Genesis. In the Old Testament lesson, which was read for today, we see how one sin leads to another. Cain kills Abel, and he sinned not only against his brother, but also against God. Approached by God and accused of wrongdoing, Cain shot back his answer to God, "Am I my brother's keeper?" The grammatical context of that question expects an implied no answer. Of course not. God didn't even bother to answer that question, because by the mere asking of it, Cain was showing that he had a mistaken idea of God's intention for mankind. "Am I my brother's keeper?" is also the cry St. Paul hears from some of his flock at Corinth. Do I have to watch out for the welfare of the brethren and their frail and timid consciences every second? Do I not have the right to do what is right? The question itself already displays basic misconceptions about what God's love in a man's life is able to accomplish. The Corinthians had been in the middle of one of their famous fights, this one concerning food which had been sacrificed and dedicated to pagan idols and then set on the open market for common usage. The dilemma which resulted in the Christian's mind was, would I compromise my Christian principles by eating this meat, or should I refrain from it altogether? Each side came to a somewhat mistaken conclusion. The one division insisted that their rights should not be impinged upon, and please stop telling me what I can and what I cannot do. The other side thought it was wrong under any circumstances, no matter if the intention was not to have fellowship with the pagans and with their idols. St. Paul takes these arguments on either side, and he places them in their proper light. The question for Paul is not whether anyone is, humanly speaking, in the right or in the wrong. The question is, what is the way to act in Christian love? And here St. Paul detects the basic problem of the Corinthians who were technically right in insisting on their own rights. He saw them asking among themselves, "Are we our brother's keeper? Should we have an eye on our brothers at all times?" This displays that their motivations were based on selfishness and not on love and concern for their fellow Christians. Paul's words of condemnation speak as clearly to us today as they did to those freedom-minded Corinthians. For we are caught in that same desire to secure our rights first, to make sure that what we want is what we get. To feel Christian love is not such a hard thing. And unless it hampers our style in some way, unless it's not really what we want to do, and it's not in our best interest. Paul's words speak to us today as a seminary community in things that may well correspond to food offered to idols, and expecting others to follow the same type of devotional life that we do, and expecting others to understand on a Friday night when we've had a hard week and it's all right to have a good, loud, long party. Even in that understanding, how one's non-participation in the worship life of the community may affect another Christian brother. In all of these situations, our cry can mimic the cry of the Corinthian, "Am I my brother's keeper?" But if one loves God, St. Paul says, one is known by him. He directs us to the source of our love for one another. The source of our love is God's love. By his example, through his love, we are able to love one another. Imagine how God, in seeing his creation falling into sin and hatred for him, had asked himself the question, "Am I my creation's keeper? Why should I bother with their welfare? Do I not have the right to do what I want in my own self-interest?" God in his righteousness had the right to do what he wanted, even to the point of turning his back on us. But he did bother with us. He took it upon himself to have our interests in mind, to do what was best for us. His answer to that question was not an implied no, but an emphatic yes. "Yes, I am my creation's keeper. Yes, I will send my son into the world to seek and to save that which was lost." For God gave up his own interest, even his own son into death, for our salvation. Also, Christ gives us the example of self-sacrificing love, because he came into the world, and even though he was God, he did not insist on his own rights as God, but he emptied himself, and he took the form of a servant, and he died for our salvation. That love made manifest causes us to love God in return, and be a perfect example of love, to love our fellow men. The point to remember in all of our dealings with fellow Christians is not to ascertain what is legal or illegal and then act on the basis of that judgment, but first to consider the other person in love and ask whether it will fit him in his Christian faith. Maybe the other person is weak in his Christian faith. Maybe he does not have the proper theological understanding of the situation. Yet that does not give us the right to go ahead with any action if that will harm the brother. These day-by-day dealings with our fellow Christians can sometimes be the hardest things in our struggle with the flesh. But these day-by-day dealings can be strengthened and made possible by day-by-day contact with the source of love, with God and his word, through experiencing his love in the Lord's Supper. Through experiencing his love in the Lord's Supper. The more intimately we can become involved in God's word, the more that word can direct us in our relationship to others. St. Paul warns in these closing verses that a sin against a brother is compounded and multiplied by being a sin also against Christ. But love shown to our brother is also compounded and multiplied by being an action of love for Christ. Love was St. Paul's guiding principle in relation to fellow Christians, and need also be ours in our relationship with others. Amen. We rise to the challenge.